Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with a Faith and Freedom show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. For this Liberty Works radio network, we are going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Today is a little bit weird. What I'm going to be doing is playing something that I've done before. And what it was is I had a pilot show, and not a pilot show, I take it back. I debuted in Hampton, Virginia on a show that it was a day right after 4th of July. And so what I did is I made some interviews of people on their opinion of what it was that they were celebrating on 4th of July. And what happened is I found the populace to be extremely uninformed. And they really didn't care. I mean, they're just, let's just admit it, folks. We go through life not really tuning in to what's going on around us at times. And so that it was part of the reason why this Faith and Freedom show was motivated. So this is an example of what happened the first year. In fact, this was the first broadcast. I'm going to be playing this audio clip from the first broadcast of this Faith and Freedom show. And that it actually happened was July 5th, 2007 in Hampton, Virginia. I had tried this thing out 2 weeks in January of 2007 here on 104.3 FM. And it went over really well. And so at that point, we just had to find the market that we wanted to approach with this Faith and Freedom project. And I hope it's inspiring for you, that it equips you and stirs you up to do those things that we all ought to be doing.
It's on July 5th. We had a special event yesterday, July 4th. I was down at Fort Monroe in Hampton, Virginia, America's first city. It's been around since 1620 as an active city in America. And I had the opportunity of interviewing people and asking them special questions. It was a little bit scary because when I would ask them a question about what the purpose of government is, or actually what they were celebrating, they started to freeze up a little bit. Give me a call today and tell me what you think is the purpose of government. That is actually the topic today. I'll give you a little hint. Yesterday's special event, there was a special document that came about a couple of hundred years ago. It actually talked about the purpose of government. So what we're going to do today is we're going to review some of the things that are going on in town, some of the views of some of the people that might have been elected, and see what they think the purpose of government is. So that's where we're going today. And one thing that I did, in the last 10 years, I've been doing some study, and I've always wanted to know why these folks rebelled. We call it the Declaration of Independence. I hear things about my own life and other people's lives where you say, don't be so rebellious. Well, were they rebellious? Were they just a bunch of tax evaders and tax protesters that just so happened to be far away enough from the mother country that nobody could really do anything about it? Or what was their perspective? Was what they did actually right? Now, some of you might think, oh my goodness, this guy's anti-American. He's insinuating that's wrong. No, I'd like people to call at 465-6700 and tell me what you think. Was it right? Was the Declaration of Independence a good thing? Or was it a right thing? So those are the kind of things we're going to talk about. I did have the opportunity to listen to an elected official have a speech. And I went online and got a transcript of the speech just so I could kind of scrutinize it for talk radio. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read to you something that an elected official said, and I would like you to consider, is this the purpose of government? And is it the purpose of government compared to what we were celebrating on July 4th? So let me go ahead and read from this speech. It said, quote, "The government was called for these purposes: to extend this nation's prosperity, to spend the people's money wisely, to solve problems, not leave them to future generations, to guard America against all evil, and to keep faith with those we have sent forth to defend us." Now, those things sounded really good, and in fact, they got a lot of applause when they were spoken. But my responsibility to do as an American, as I am subject and I'm accountable to Almighty God, is I... as a citizen of America, we have freedoms and we have duties and we have responsibilities. So what kind of struck me many years ago is I really have an accountability before Almighty God to make sure our government, which is our servant, which we formed, government of the people, by the people, and for the people, how well are they doing? Are they complying with the rules? And it's just my philosophy that the more the government complies with the rules, the more we will prosper. So I began to investigate, and I went and found out what the purpose of government was. And I started reviewing it. And of course, you know, one of the things that the founders did when they signed this Declaration of Independence, they didn't just sit around and they were in a tavern someplace and talking about how messed up the taxes are and who elected that governor anyway. Oh, that's right. He was appointed by the king. What can we do about this? And they weren't just sitting around in Raleigh's tavern trying to instigate each other into a battle. They were actually spending time reading. They didn't have television. So they would read stuff from this one philosopher of law at the time was a gentleman named John Locke. And so they read this gentleman, John Locke. Of course, they didn't have anything better to do, so they read the Magna Carta. There was another contemporary of theirs, Sir William Blackstone, that was in England. And the university that was the college, whatever you'd like to call it, chartered him to make a commentary on the law. And so that came out, I think, in the 1760s. So the founders of this nation had been reading Sir William Blackstone and commenting with one another in Raleigh Tavern because they didn't have television. But they were discussing these things. There was a preacher named Samuel Rutherford, and he had written a book called, or a treatise, called Lex Rex. And that's Latin, lex is law, rex is king. Law king, the king law, or law is king. It inferred that the law was actually king, and the king was subject to the law. So all these kind of crazy things that were going on. And then also, what's really amazing, is we later we know that the Bill of Rights came with the United States Constitution, and there was a little bit of struggle with whether there should have been a Bill of Rights added to the Constitution. But back in 1689, so this is quite a while before the Declaration of Independence, there had been a Bill of Rights that had been drafted in England. And when William and Mary took over power in England, in Great Britain, back in the 1680s, what had happened was there was this horrible behaviors by the king that was causing people to really suffer, and the king wasn't obeying the law. People got together and dethroned the king. William and Mary took over. But the founders of this country had been reading these folks. You and I probably, you're probably like me, when you went to high school, and I went through government class, it was mandatory. Yes, it was mandatory. If I wanted to take shop and ceramics or whatever it was that had no homework, it was mandatory that I took government. Now, I got a C in government, and I worked really hard. In fact, I can go back in my high school days and realize that I actually worked harder for that C than I worked any time in my whole school history. And I was disappointed that I got merely a C. And what it is, I probably just didn't understand it. You know, there's only so many facts you can memorize, like 1776. Okay, that's a catchy phrase, it's a catchy number, but why does it matter? And if it's hard for us to associate why it matters, it's very hard to learn. Now, yesterday when I went around Fort Monroe, or just outside of Fort Monroe, asking people a question, I would say, well, what is today? And people would freeze up. It might have been stage fright because they were being recorded. They would tell me it's Independence Day. Eventually, I got people telling me, besides just the date, 4th of July, it was actually Independence Day. And then I would ask them, well, what is significant about Independence Day? And they would pause, a long pause, and they would think about it. And periodically, somebody would actually talk about, that's the day we declared our independence. Well, good. That's good. So, you know, and some of them actually were able to tell me there was actually a document called the Declaration of Independence. But a lot of them just kind of looked at me a little bit strange, and they never really answered the question. I talked to one lady who had become a U.S. citizen back in 1991. She's very excited about it. She's very a happy lady. I just encouraged her. She was a great person to meet. And I asked her if she had read all this stuff, and she said, yes, yes, I had to take a test on it. I read all of those things. I said, well, can you tell me anything that the Declaration of Independence actually said? And she said, no. So, you know, she's just like the rest of us. We go and we study up, you know, we do the old brainstorm until we get to the test day. And then we allow our brain cells to just fall away after the test. But she couldn't remember anything in the Declaration of Independence. Finally, I got to a 16-year-old young lady, and she was able to just almost verbatim quote it. And she probably said inalienable instead of unalienable, because it's one of those 50-50 things, whether you get that one right. But she was able to quote it pretty well. And then I stumbled on a gentleman that as soon as I prompted him with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," that was it. He was rolling. And he was in his late 20s, and he was able to tell me, and he was so excited. He had learned that, memorized it when he was in 8th grade. So I was really excited about that, and so was he. But the point of it is here, we're probably not taught what it means and why. What is habeas corpus? When you go to the Constitution and somebody says, unless in case of war, we're not going to dispense with habeas corpus. And yes, I'm not quoting it directly, but what is habeas corpus? And there should, you know, there's what is de facto, you know, or after the fact laws or whatever. So there's all these terms in government that we don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Hey, folks, that was a pre-recorded message. It was actually, as I said, the beginning of the show, for those of you just turning in on the Eagle 104.3, is that was the debut show that I had of this Faith and Freedom show. It was in Hampton, Virginia. It was kind of a shotgun. You know, it's just bombarding you with detailed information, going from thought to thought, just poking you in the eyes with just little bits of information. The reason it was like that, it was actually once per week, and I was downloading a lot of information on our listeners as fast as possible. We've got the freedom now here with the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM, where we're back every day, 2 hours a day, every weekday, so we can talk about these issues in a more conversational light. We can visit things a little bit more in detail without killing too many brain cells at once. So I appreciate these folks at Eagle 104.3 FM who've got the thrill seeker mentality and thrill seeker bloodline, that they're willing to forsake what would be necessarily a more profitable format, I think, a music format. If you want to, I guess the biggest bang for your advertising buck is supposed to be country music. The tough thing sometimes is to have the courage to do those things that are necessary, needed for society, and just trust that the finances will come after the fact. Hey, keep listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM on this Liberty Works radio network. We'll be back.
And John Locke, I love his statement. He starts to explain why there is government. He used the term commonwealth. He kind of gave a description like all men were running around like cavemen, and they realized that they could protect their property better if they'd all come to a commonwealth agreement. They were in a state of nature, and then it just seemed best for everybody if we'd make an agreement to all get along and have certain rules that we'll agree to, and once we agree to that, we're kind of stuck with it, like a contract or a compact. And that was his view of why there's government. And it's a little bit more than that. We'll be getting that into that as we continue on with this broadcast.
This that you've heard is a pre-recorded show. It's actually a recording of the debut show that we did with this Faith and Freedom show in Hampton Roads, the southeast portion of Virginia. And it was a little bit more, it was choppy, a little less conversational, because what it was a once per week, 1 hour show. And that was my first show there in Hampton Roads, where I was just bombarding people, shotgunning them with little bits of knowledge and information that was hopefully going to stir their minds to the appropriate behaviors in life and love and good works and those kind of things that we owe Almighty God and our neighbor and things like that. So here on the Eagle 104.3 FM, we're thrilled about these folks who have had the courage to let us come here with our Faith and Freedom show, and where we can have a little bit more conversational approach to the issues of the day on the constitutional basis, the biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. So we're going to be back with discussing some more things. You're going to hear some clips from this first show that we did in Hampton Roads, Virginia. And we're thrilled about this opportunity to join forces with you in the Florida, our Central Florida listening audience and the partnership that we're having here. So thanks to Liberty Works Radio Network and the Eagle 104.3, we shall return.